Bendiciones, mi gente. Welcome to Cafecito Break. I'm one of the Perez sisters, Rosangel Perez, and today we have a very special guest returning on the show is Curtis Cost, author of Vaccines Are Dangerous. And I guess, I have to just say, to me, you're not just a guest, you're a friend, your family by this point. And my sister and I are grateful to have you in our lives. How have you been, Curtis?
That's very much appreciated. Yeah, I've been doing fine and gave myself a little break as we were talking about a moment ago. I went had a little vacation and it was great to get some sunshine, some swimming time in. And yeah, but I'm ready. My batteries are charged, so I'm ready to get back into the fight.
Well, you know what? Vacation is definitely something we don't really talk about in our Western world, where we're go, 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 go. Where'd you get to go?
I went to Dominican Republic. Yeah, and so I spent a
Very
lot of time
nice, very
swimming out
nice.
under the sun in clear blue skies. And I want to say, you feel like family and good friends, perfect friends, and everything else, because I admire what you and your sister do. You're on the streets, you're letting people know. You're doing what a lot of the mainstream media is refusing to do. You're telling the people the truth. So I admire what you do, you and your sister.
Thank you. It's mutual, and we find your support to Cafecito Break has been so greatly appreciated. It's been invaluable, and mi gente, I just want to encourage you guys to support Curtis Cause, to check out his book. It's on Amazon, and also, more importantly, visit and subscribe to his Substack,
Substack.
curtiscause.substack.com, right?
Right. Yeah, that's my Substack. All right, a little correction. Don't go to Amazon. They're censoring me and they're allowing people to collect their copies of my book at ridiculous prices. They can just go to my website, www.vaccinesaredangerous.blogspot.com. You can probably put it on your screen later, www.vaccinesaredangerous.blogspot.com. And all copies ordered from my website, I autograph and date them.
Thank you. And thank you for that correction. Yes, I always feel like hesitant to recommend Amazon, but I do know that's where sometimes people go. But yeah, the most important thing is also something that we encourage here at Cafecito Break is go directly to the site, go directly to the person who is sharing this information. And this is a great time to remind the community, Curtis, how did you get into this work? Why is it important to you? And what's next for you during this 2023 year? It's the last day of January.
Yes. Well, try and do it briefly. I got started back in this over 30 years ago, and I stumbled upon information about vaccines being dangerous and ineffective. And I delved into it. I didn't believe it at first, but I spent over 2 years researching the subject, and I eventually concluded that the vaccines are poison, pure poison, totally unnecessary. And people were being lied to. So it was my mission, since I'm a pretty good writer and good researcher, to take a lot of that technical information and put into a format that the average person could really understand, as well as making sure it's very well referenced for those who are more serious-minded and want to do follow-up research. And so the first edition of my book, Vaccines Are Dangerous, came out in 1991. And the second edition, this one here, came out in 2010, Vaccines Are Dangerous. And so it's my mission to enlighten people, and it's been an amazing journey. I've met lots of people, lots of parents in my travels, where I give lectures around the country, and consistently over the years, parents have come up to me and they just want to hug me and thank me for my book, or because they either read it or heard me on some radio show or something and chose not to vaccinate their kids. And in every single case, the kids were perfectly healthy. I mean, rarely ever got sick, or if they did get sick, they got recovered very quickly. And they also taught me that all the neighbors' kids who did get vaccinated, they're the ones coming down with autism and ADHD and respiratory problems, diabetes, autism, I mean, the whole list. So they were spared because this information that I was able to put out there. And so over time, I've given lots of forums and interviews. I've been in the New York Times, The Village Voice, and Tony Brown's Journal, and a lot of other publications and interviews. And so I've been out there doing what I can. And this COVID situation is far worse because this is the deadliest vaccine ever. And I warned before the vaccine came on the market that this vaccine was going to kill, I projected, billions of people if we don't stop it. And already it's killed more people than all the other vaccines combined over the past 30 years. That's huge for one vaccine in the space of a year or so to kill more people than all of the other vaccines combined over the past 30 years. That's huge. And those numbers are mostly just from the United States. God knows what the numbers will look like worldwide, looking at the data that they collect. So it's been a journey, and over the years I've worked with different groups, Al Sharpton and others, and I work with Mr. Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s group, Children's Health Defense, and we do forums and interviews, and we protest, and we get into the community, hand out flyers, we do all kinds of things. We pretty much go into Albany, other places, and let our feelings known to the legislators, and so. We do a lot of different things. I'll stop there. I said a lot, and then I'll pick up if you have a question or so about what I said already.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for your work in the past 30 years. How did you feel, and when was it that you knew when they were already saying it's 2 weeks to slow the spread? We're here in March 2020. Depending on how people were tracking the information, some of us were aware of what they were calling the coronavirus in late 2019. We started really getting acquainted with it here in January through March. At what point did you know, uh-oh, when did you have that feeling in your system?
Well, from the very beginning, because I've been looking at these issues for a very long time. I mean, I knew this thing was a hoax. The vaccines was worthless. I mean, if you look at the statistics for 2020, the death rate, depending on what numbers look like, overall death rate stayed the same or was actually lower in 2020. So where was this great pandemic? And I gave a lecture back in October at the Wise Traditions conference in Knoxville, Tennessee. And the topic of my presentation was the cycles of fear and manipulation of the public. And what I did in my presentation, which is also on my Substack, I traced the history of vaccines and diseases going all the way back to the Spanish flu. And I show that they have been using the same script again and again and again to terrorize the public, into running and getting the vaccines. And when they get the vaccines, that's when they start dying. For example, with the Spanish flu, researchers today and journalists, if you look online, they'll say it was caused by a virus or a germ or something. That was bogus. We know back then, and I provide the references, Dr. Milton did a study in which he took 100 soldiers and he got people who were sick, supposedly with Spanish flu, and his team did everything possible to get these soldiers sick. They took mucus sample and spread it to these soldiers. They didn't get sick. Blood, saliva, everything. They wouldn't get sick. They even went and got bodily fluids from corpses of people who supposedly died from the Spanish flu. This is back in 1918, and they tried to infect the soldiers with the body fluids from corpses. Nothing happened. They were fine. And the last ditch effort, they tried to infect these soldiers by having the sick people literally cough and sneeze into the faces of these soldiers. I don't know how they managed to get somebody to agree to do that. And the soldiers were supposed to breathe in at the same time somebody's coughing and sneezing in their face. That was disgusting, but still, none of them got sick. And in his comments in an article in JAMA, Journal of the American Medical Association, Dr. Milton concluded that we thought we knew about this disease, but we now realize we don't know anything about it. And he proved basically that it was not contagious. So all this big fear that they created in the early 1900s, had people walking around with masks, and you could be arrested if you didn't wear your mask in public back then. And in my presentation, I show all kinds of photographs of things of people wearing masks, police officers, for nothing. It was not contagious at all. So what was really making people sick? Well, in my presentation, I show that they started giving the soldiers an experimental vaccine for meningitis. And it was at a military base where they were giving this experimental vaccine. That's where you had the first cases of Spanish flu. Spanish flu had nothing to do with Spain. Spain wasn't even involved in the war, had nothing to do with it. So the Spanish flu, I mean, the meningitis vaccine, plus they were giving them high doses of a lot of other vaccines. That is what caused people to get sick. They weren't dying of some new virus. And I go into a lot of details. I mean, and I point out how only ones who were getting sick were the ones who got the vaccine, like Eleanor McBean, for example. Dr. Eleanor McBean, in her book, Poison Needle, she points out how both of her parents were doctors, and they were going door to door to people's homes to try and help the sick. And they never got a vaccine, and the parents were fine. The kids were fine. Only ones who got sick were the vaccinated. And so I show that that was the scam back then. They caused millions of people to get sick and die around the world because they want to push these vaccines. I also look at the swine flu epidemic, supposed epidemic in the 1970s, and I show how that was a hoax. There was no swine flu. There was only five soldiers on a military base who supposedly had it. All of them recovered except for one who happened to have a fever, but he was forced to go on a march, and then he died. Just because of that, they managed to convince the public through commercials that were very compelling and statements by doctors that there was some new epidemic coming, and millions of people went out and got the swine flu vaccine, and then they started dying, and then they started becoming paralyzed. And so I traced that history up until the present with the COVID. And when you look carefully, the only ones who were really dying were sick elderly people, people 80 years old who already had a heart condition or diabetes or cancer. Those are the ones who were dying. The average healthy person was doing fine until the vaccine came on. Once they introduced the swine, I mean, I'm sorry, the COVID vaccine, that's when you started having people dying. That's when people started having heart attacks. Children now are having heart attacks. We're seeing sports figures dropping dead on the field, like in the football or baseball or whatever, basketball, and ordinary people dropping dead in the streets for no apparent reason. Well, what else has happened in the past 2 years other than that affect people around the world, other than the COVID vaccine? These people are dying from the COVID shots. And historically, that's where the problem has been, not the appearance of a brand new virus, rather the vaccines. We know the vaccines are poisonous, and I can go on and on, but I'll stop there to ask another question or so.
What about the masks? It was pushed on us. It was pushed on the children. Many of us pushed back. We got censored out by the algorithm. And now all of these things are just flooding, not just alternative, because a lot of us have known this, but now it's hitting the mainstream, not just the studies on masks. But what you were saying about, oh, maybe this is ca causing cardiac arrest. And now we're starting to see children at younger and younger ages collapse. They're experiencing adverse effects. Some of them, unfortunately, have died. Yet, you barely hear that part. Right, the people who are suffering, the people who have died, their loved ones, that doesn't make their airwaves. They don't want to talk about it.
Well, let me put this as delicately as I possibly can. The masks are bullshit. Okay. I don't need a nicer way to say it. I mean, a person has to be pretty much brain dead to put a daggone mask on their face to protect from a virus when the box itself says will not protect against COVID, will not protect against virus. You have to be stupid or brain dead to put something on your face when the manufacturer tells you on the box it doesn't work. That'd be equivalent to excuse my cursing. I'm sorry. It gets frustrating at times. The idiocy. It'll be equivalent to an astronaut going to outer space with a spacesuit, even though the manufacturer says will not protect you in outer space. I mean, that's what it is. It's a worthless piece of junk. In fact, a little girl, I think she's like 11, 12 years old, Jenna Miller, I believe is the name. She refused to wear a mask at a school. She made one of the best statements I've heard about masks. She said, a $2 mask will never protect you against a virus. I mean, common sense. If a stupid $2 mask can protect you from a virus, then why do you have to wear those spacesuits in these biological warfare laboratories, you know, with the oxygen tank and everything else? No, all they got to do is go to your 99 cent store and buy a $2 face mask, and they'll protect you from all the viruses and everything. It's stupid. And not only is it stupid to wear a mask that the manufacturer says doesn't work, this is not my opinion, this is what the manufacturers say. And they have to say it because they know this stuff doesn't work. It's extremely dangerous. I mean, you are inhibiting your intake of oxygen. And that's very bad because your body's supposed to have the natural flow of oxygen. And what that one of the things that causes is that you're contributing to the growth of cancers in your body because cancers grow best in a low oxygenated environment. So you're reducing your oxygen intake and you're feeding the growth of cancer in your body. That's why oxygenation is one of the treatments to reverse cancer. The high dose oxygen helps reverse cancer. Another thing that it's doing is it's increasing your intake of CO2, which makes your body more acidic. And a more acidic environment also contributes to the growth of cancer in the body. So you are feeding cancer in two different directions by wearing those masks, by the low oxygenation and the high increase of carbon dioxide, because you're breathing back in your own carbon dioxide. In addition to that, it contributes to a condition called mask mouth. What that basically means is that the germs that you're breathing out, they get trapped into the mask and they start to multiply because germs grow best in a warm, moist, dark environment. So what it's like when you wear your shoes and socks, you get foot fungus very often. That's because it's a warm, moist, dark environment. So what do you have when you put a mask on? You have a warm, moist, dark environment. So it's feeding the growth of germs. That's why people are getting rashes all over their faces. They're having all kinds of gum diseases, which if not treated quickly or in a timely manner, can lead to death. And people having before, most people when they get fillings, it's usually in the back teeth. Now doctors are having to remove and put fillings in the front teeth. So it's bad on a lot of different levels. The masks are worthless and they're trying to bring it back. And even more amazingly is a lot of the hospitals are still requiring you to wear a mask. Now, how stupid can they be? Are these supposed to be a place of lots of smart people? And doctors are generally very smart. But I'll put the blame on the administration right now. Why on earth would they be requiring patients or people to enter the house and wear a mask where the box says it doesn't protect you against COVID? I mean, I've argued with some administrators at hospitals, but I would say, well, does the mask that you want people to wear that you give out, do they guarantee to protect you against germs? And typically when I ask that, protect against virus, they hang up the phone, click no, because it doesn't. It's stupid, but it creates the illusion that they want, the fear factor. If there wasn't people walking around with masks, nobody would have known anything about any COVID disease or anything else. But it creates the illusion that there's something out there. And we don't have to worry about viruses. There are bad things out there. The pesticides and the spray, the chemtrails, the airplanes are always spraying stuff on us. Our environment is very polluted. The poisons in the water, poisons in the food. A lot of bad things out there. But so far, nobody's proved that there's a virus that's doing this. I mean, Christine Massey, she researched, contacted over, I think, 200 different institutions, hospitals, universities, and asked them for a sample of this COVID-19 virus. Not one could produce a sample of it. On top of that, she also asked if they could refer her to an institution that did have it. None of them could. So if it's a virus, okay, great, let's see it. If it was something made in the laboratory, okay, let's see a sample of it. Extracted from a person's body and go through all the steps necessary to prove that it is a virus. But for right now, we don't have an actual sign. We have computer-generated models that they're talking about, but that's not the same thing as the actual virus. But I don't want to confuse people too much. But in short, the masks are stupid, and they're going to try and bring that back, and they're very, very dangerous.
You brought up a conversation that I think is a hot button item, because you know that I've been listening to those Twitter spaces. I've been sending you guys every single time there's a new one. I'm in there listening in, trying to catch up on the gossip. No, but really, it's amazing because you have a group of all these people from very like from the left to the right to the middle to all to different parts of the world. Bringing in their perspective, their experience, and their professional vantage point, right? I was gonna say expertise, but I guess everything these days is being questioned like this. Is it a virus? Is it a bioweapon? Was it isolated? I don't know what the answer is.
But I can tell you the death rate overall went down in 2020, and that the real causes of death are from the vaccines. That's the thing we really got to worry about. Now, I can tell a little bit of background about viruses and isolation and stuff. When I first got into this, I started with doing research on the subject of HIV and AIDS. And back then, the material that I was reading, books like AIDS and the Doctors of Death and AIDS and Inner Civilization by William Campbell Douglas, and Alan Catwell wrote his book. A lot of things I read, and they were talking about biological warfare weapon, that HIV was made in a laboratory and was given out to people through vaccines to kill them. And I believe that. And that was highly contagious, in sexual transmission. Well, I wrote a book on that, and it was doing very well, but I later had people telling me that I was wrong. There was no virus. And I thought they were crazy. But eventually I sat down and started going through their material. I mean, stacks of medical journal articles and all kinds of books and stuff. And after I went through that, I was in a state of shock because they were right. Ultimately, they were right. And the key issue was no HIV virus had ever been isolated. Isolated and purified. That means separated from everything else. For example, if I to clarify, if I gave you a solution of milk and water, and I said I want you to isolate just the milk, well, what would you have to do? You have to figure out a way to separate the milk from the water. That's what isolation is. So that process of separating, and then once they separate, then they can run tests and do things to determine what it can and cannot do. No HIV virus was ever isolated. To this day, no HIV virus has ever been isolated. In fact, in my book, Vaccines Are Dangerous, I have a quote from Luc Montagnier, the scientist from the Pasteur Institute, who supposedly isolated HIV, admitting in an interview that his team never succeeded in obtaining a purified sample of HIV. Purified meaning isolate, but a higher level of isolation. It never happened. And we also know what the real cause of what was being called AIDS. It had nothing to do with the virus. It was affecting initially in the 80s only promiscuous homosexual males. And these males, they were having lots of partners, which caused a lot of trauma to their colon area. So they started taking a drug called poppers. Now, poppers help relieve the pain to the colon area and gave them a feeling of euphoria. But it also had severe adverse side effects, including a skin cancer called Kaposi's sarcoma and something called pneumocystis carinii pneumonia. Those two conditions, the skin cancer and the pneumonia, that is what originally defined what AIDS was. So we knew that this was a drug-based disease. It had nothing to do with a virus. Just like I give in my presentation, all those diseases, Spanish flu and swine flu, H1N1, they all were blamed on a virus, but in fact, it was not a virus at all. And so we know it was drug-based, but there's no money to be made by saying there's a disease that only affects promiscuous homosexual males who are drug addicts. So they made up this mythology that was due to a virus and that it was transmitted to heterosexuals, which has been proven to be false. And so I'm familiar with that whole scenario. So when they came up with this scenario about COVID being made in a laboratory and disseminated somehow, myself and many others who have been doing this research for decades and seen these patterns, we're skeptical. I mean, it might be correct. I mean, anything can happen in biological warfare, but we can't accept things on face value. Yeah, they may have poured money doing research, but we don't know what they came up with. And if they did come up with something, who knows if it was the virus or whatever else, if they did, well, we should be able to take a blood sample, saliva sample, or other bodily fluids from a person who supposedly has COVID, and we should be able to see this virus. Well, whoever can produce that, great. Well, then you will be on the road to proving your case. But identifying something doesn't, it's not the end point. You have this whole series of steps where you have to prove that this thing you've identified and you're calling a virus can actually do these things. And it's something's called, the procedure is called Koch's postulates. And it's a series of steps that you have to do, which includes infecting an animal with this virus that you think you've found, and then see if the animal develops the same symptoms. And then there's a lot of steps involved. So there's a whole series of steps that would have to be involved to prove that somebody has created a killer virus. That hasn't been done. If it has been done, I'd be happy somebody let me know where can we find a purified sample of COVID-19, not some computer-generated model. the actual virus taken from the bloody fluids of individuals. And this argument has been going on for decades. And when I first heard about it, I learned it from a scientist, a Black woman who has a PhD. She is a professor. And she told me point blank that viruses, excuse my language, are bullshit. She said point blank, viruses are bullshit. You can't grow this stuff in a laboratory. This was decades ago. And over time, we now have today doctors and scientists who are coming out publicly and saying the same thing. Dr. Tom Cowan, MD, Dr. Andrew Kaufman, MD, Dave Raznick, and others who are now publicly saying that no COVID virus has been produced. Now, people could be poisoned through other means and other things be going on, but in terms of a virus, well, you have to isolate it, purify it, and then follow Koch's postulates to then prove it. Anybody can go look up Koch's postulates and things of that nature. And I'll say something else just real fast that'll help people out. Viruses are not alive. That's a very important concept for people to grasp. Viruses do not fit the criteria alive. A virus is no more alive than my pen is. And how do we know that? Because one, everything that's alive has to consume. Like we eat food and we drink water and things. Viruses do not consume. And what I just now said is not controversial. Do a Google search and you'll find viruses do not consume anything. Everything that's alive has to produce waste products. Like we go to the bathroom to do a number one, number two. Viruses do not do that. So even a tree consumes things. A tree consumes oxygen, carbon dioxide from the air and sunlight and water and nutrients from the soil. And they produce a waste product. Trees produce carbon dioxide. So they fit the criteria of life. Viruses do not. A virus does not have a central nervous system. They can't move. All living things must move. Plants, trees, they move. They move slowly, but they move. Viruses do not swim. They do not fly. They do not crawl. None of that. Even though sometimes they'll show you video images, when they talk about viruses, they'll show you some images, a little microscope that you move around. But those aren't viruses, and they know that. But they want you to make a connection between something that's alive and moving and the word virus, which is total BS. And again, this is not Curtis Cross talking. Go to Google and ask, are viruses alive? You'll find, no. Do they eat? No. Do they go to the bathroom? No. Can they swim? Can they fly? Can they crawl? No, 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 no. So in order for a virus to do the things they claim, they tell us this thing that's not alive, can't move, can't eat, can't do anything, somehow is magically able to identify one of your cells and force itself inside one of your cells and then command your cell to reproduce other viruses. How does something that's not alive do that? That makes about as much sense as me saying, well, if I cut off a microscopic piece of this pin here and put it in a water solution, inject it into you, it's going to get inside your cells and force your cells to produce baby pins that's going to grow up to adult pins. Right. I'm glad you're laughing. I love when people laugh because then they understand it. It's stupid. It's ludicrous. And they can only get away with it because these doctors, when they write in their medical journals and when they're talking to the public, they're using all these complicated Latin terms to confuse you. When somebody tries to confuse, that means they're trying to hide something. They don't want somebody to explain things as simply as this, but it really is that simple. They are not alive. Viruses cannot do what they're talking about. So we're talking about this one, the dead cellular material that they're calling viruses. It's a lie. But this lie is a big lie. It's a great lie. It's a very profitable lie. They've made trillions of dollars off this virus hoax. All kinds of money, billions from the vaccines and from antibiotics and the adverse reactions to the vaccines, the treatment for that. They've created a multi-trillion dollar industry over this massive virus hoax, which they've been perpetuating for decades, going all the way back to the early 1900s, actually even before then with the smallpox, but I only had time to trace it back to early 1900s for my presentation. But it's the same script again and again and again, and they're taking advantage of a gullible public. They think we're stupid. In fact, they know a small percentage of us are going to figure it out. You know, 1%, 2%. But they don't care about the 1%, 2% like us who figured it out. They know the other 98% are too stupid to figure it out. Most are not too stupid. I mean, they don't have the confidence to go and read medical journals. Because medical journals use all kinds of confusing language. Confused. They know that. They know most people are too intimidated to do their own research. And so they can get away with it. But now things are easier because now you have things like my book, which goes into all this very simply. There are other books on the market that do the same thing. You got all kinds of great websites, including my own, that explains a lot of this information very simple, easy to understand language. So, in short, if there is a COVID virus, well, I would love to see it. I mean, I'd love to see who managed to obtain a purified sample from an actual person and went through all the steps to prove that it's the virus. If somebody's done that or they did it in a biological warfare laboratory, great, let's see the proof. I'm sorry, I know I said a lot, but you asked me a lot of questions at the same time.
Very impressive. And I'm grateful that there are people like you that can break this material down in ways that are easier to understand, because you're the first person during these 3 years that I've spoken to that has broken down a virus in that way. You know, I'm never going to forget that, right? I didn't even understand, because what's embedded in my mind are the visuals, specifically the ones that I've seen on TV, in the news. So that's where I guess we as Cafecito Break come in, because we're squeaky wheels over that narrative that has and continues to program people away from their wisdom and their insights and inner knowing.
You're absolutely right. And the scary thing is also they are injecting this COVID vaccine into pregnant women. I did an interview with Dr. James Thorpe, medical doctor, OBGYN for like 45 years or so. And he was going down the horrible things that's happening to pregnant women and their babies. I mean, it's just very, very disturbing. And they knew before they gave the vaccine, they knew that these vaccines cause horrible deformities in pregnant rats. The offspring would be born with no eyes and horrible stuff, yet they still gave it to pregnant women. In fact, I'm having a forum later this week in which I have Dr. Thorpe and a number of other doctors and others on there going to be going into this in great detail because we need to get this out there and warn pregnant mothers, do not take this COVID vaccine. It's insane. The deadliest vaccine on the planet, a vaccine that's causing people dropping dead all around the world, or we assume it's the vaccine because I can't think of anything else causing all these sudden deaths. And they want to give it to pregnant women. I mean, it's mind-boggling. And all the other vaccines, when you read my book and look at the ingredients, it's mind-boggling. They would put monkey kidneys and chicken embryos and mercury and formaldehyde in these vaccines. They've been doing this for years. And then they act like it's a mystery as to why all these kids are autistic. We're reaching a point very soon, I think in the next 5 years or so, where half of all kids are going to be autistic, plus all the other adverse reactions from the vaccine. So we're going to have a forum about this, the idea of giving vaccines to pregnant women. And we have a governor here in New York, Governor Kathy Hochul, who wants to mandate or put into effect these quarantine camps. We've been protesting against them here in New York, and we had a victory in the court in New York against these quarantine camps. And she's filing an appeal, and she has until mid-March to do it. So we are mobilizing to challenge that. What the quarantine camps means is that she would have the ability through the health department to grab anybody up and throw them into a quarantine camp, any place in the state, and you have zero rights. I mean, you cannot, you have no right to a court hearing to prove that you have some disease, whatever. They don't have to prove you have anything. They can just make the accusation. And once you're inside, you're going to be forced to eat and drink whatever they give you. And take whatever vaccines they may want to administer to you, and take whatever other experimental drugs you wanted to. And then there's no time limit on which how long they can keep you. They can keep you there for months, years. This is like Nazi Germany type of stuff. These are concentration camps. And of the average person, if they hear this for the first time, may not want to believe it, but you can go online and look it up. The quarantine camps is no that he's talking about. Is no different than what they're doing in China and Australia and other places. Just look up quarantine camps and these other countries. In fact, just go to my Substack, curtiscost.substack.com, and I have several reports and videos and everything else about the quarantine camp issue. So we have a lot of issues that we're working on. Children's Health Defense New York is very active on these issues and can use public support because we are taking on a Goliath and we're the David and, but we're going to win because truth is on our side, right is on our side, and the majority is on our side. We just have to wake people up to the gravity of what some people, some very small, powerful group of people want to do to us and our children.
The reps, the House, they're trying to put in bills to end the emergency, the COVID-19 emergency. And there are representatives, mostly on the Democratic side, that are They get very nervous when they hear that. They're like, how can we just abruptly end the emergency? You're gonna like, we need to have hearings. We need to determine what this is. We need to determine the health and safety of the people. This is gonna create chaos. And I hear that, and it I want to have an inner volcanic tantrum.
It's ludicrous. I mean, these people, they are ignoring the science and the basic facts. And the facts are that there's no emergency, and that the vaccine is the real threat. I mean, more people have died from the lockdowns and the mandates and caused all kinds of depression, higher rates of drug use, alcohol use, higher rates of suicide. The hospitals right now, I understand something like 35,000 healthcare workers have been laid off because they refused to take the shot. And the governor is saying, well, that's better than putting people around patients who have COVID. Wait a minute, you got 35,000 healthcare workers unable to take care of people who are in the hospital in all kinds of serious conditions. That's far greater threat. And where's the proof that this vaccine protects against anything? Where's the virus? I mean, if it's out there, where's the proof? I mean, she just ignores the science. What about all the people? And you can see this on various websites. Look up all the people suffering side effects from the vaccine, people who are having seizures, I mean, all day long, and having horrible rashes, and women having disrupted menstrual cycles, and women unable to give birth. I mean, one woman I know who's a specialist for many years in helping women to get pregnant. She said her success rate before the COVID vaccine was like 60%. Now her success rate is down to like 20%. This is an attack on fertility. I know another woman who's as a, I didn't know what the term meant when I first heard it, a lactation specialist. What that means is that she helps women to produce milk once they've had babies. She's told me that the women's milk has dried up. See, her business is pretty much just shut down because women can't give milk. It's bad because also when you have sex with a person who's been vaccinated, especially recently vaccinated, we're seeing the effects occur with the other person, changes in their blood chemistry. Women who have not been vaccinated, but with a partner who was vaccinated, is messing up the menstrual cycles, having all kinds of problems. This is an attack on fertility and reproduction. And so the vaccine is where the real threat is, but they want to make it seem like, oh, well, there's some emergency based on a virus that no institution so far has been able to produce. They're playing games. They're using the same script that they've done for many, many decades. Fear tactics, and we need to stop allowing them just to scare us. We need to focus in on the facts. Okay, you say there's a virus. Okay, prove it. Where's the purified sample? Where are the steps that were done to prove it? The vaccine works. Where's the proof for the? In fact, I even got a quote from the head of Pfizer. He said, well, the vaccine really is not that effective. The first booster may not be that good, but the second, third booster, yeah, that one has worked. Nonsense. I mean, you get all these booster shots in the space of a year or so. They've been lying to us for many decades and making big bucks, and that's what they want to continue to doing. So, and they could do that with these emergency stuff. They treat us like we are sheep, stupid, dumb sheep that do what they're told. We can no longer afford to blindly trust health officials or newscasters or politicians. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance will get you killed.
Well, I'm grateful that we did this interview. And I cannot wait to put it out there in its edited version.
Yeah.
And as we wrap down, please remind people when and where they can connect with you, get your book again, and
Sure.
any messages that you'd like to leave the people with.
Sure. You go to my website, www.vaccines, R, spelled ARE, dangerous.blogspot.com. You can order my book, and I have lots of video clips and articles. Obviously, there's a lot of information on the subject of vaccines in general. And I said, all copies of my book, order from my website, autograph and date them. Don't go to Amazon being censored and people charging. I heard as high sometimes $400 for a copy of my book. No, you just pay $25 on my website and get an autographed copy. And my Substack is my first and last name, curtiscost.com. curtiscost.substack.com, curtiscost.substack.com. And you can see a lot of my articles and videos I posted there and get up to date on a lot of information and new things that I'm working on. So with that, I want to thank you very much, Rosangela, again, for having the courage to allow me to share this type of information. And I appreciate your courage and your bright smile that picks up everybody's spirits.
Well, thank you. And I look forward to seeing you out there in the streets doing more of these community outreach activities to connect with our people here in New York. Thank you for the great work and service that you're doing for humanity. And we'll see you very soon, Curtis Cost.
Looking forward to it. Take care.
Bye-bye. All right, mi gente, cafecitobreak.org. Connect with all things Cafecito Break. And we are on social media at Cafecito Break. And you can find us Sunday through Thursday, either going live stream or premiering a video 9 p.m. Eastern time on rumble.com or Getter on our Cafecito Break channel. Thank you and God bless you.